Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dave Erfley. He's the founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. I think all of our listeners know you quite well, Dave, because we chat pretty much every week. And you and I usually chat on Tuesday, but this week we pushed it back to after the Fed meeting just to see if there are any fireworks that came out of that Fed statement or the press conference and really understand the moves on the back end of that too. And it was an interesting day yesterday where the Fed statement initially came out and really the takeaway was no changes. The Fed wasn't ramping up their QE program, but they weren't winding it down. They're really still just sitting and waiting and keeping their current programs ongoing. And on the back of the actual statement, we saw markets and even precious metals move down. But that only lasted a little bit until Jerome Powell took to his press conference and started answering questions. And then we saw precious metals and the markets, really everything except for the US dollar, move higher. And that was all on the back of Powell essentially saying that the Fed is going to remain easy. They are going to keep interest rates low. They might be ramping up their QE program. Again, nothing actually done, but these comments changed the at least short-term perception of the market, saying that, hey, the Fed still has our back and the Fed is going to continue to be easy. And then markets, metals moved up on the back end of that. Dave, give us a quick little synopsis of your takeaway from what Powell had to say in the overall Fed statement.
Yeah, it was interesting, Corey, because you know, gold started to move up a few days ago before the Fed came out with what everybody expected them to say. And then once they said what everybody expected them to say, gold didn't do anything. I mean, everybody's been waiting for this. You know, the pomp and circumstance has been, you know, building and the last Fed meeting of the year. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? You know, algorithms are set to go either way. It's either going to go sky high or it's going to crash and burn. And nothing happened until a half an hour later when Powell started the press conference. And during about 8 minutes into that press conference, Powell basically reassured us that the Fed is no longer constrained in any way by the need or the desire to maintain a strong balance sheet. That was huge. And gold and markets and everything started to take off. So basically, you know, it's ZERP until at least 2023, while they could continue to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at the market to keep it inflated. And, you know, all this is going to do is it's going to create stagflation down the road, which we're already seeing. And I think the stagflation is going to really ramp up once these vaccines are dished out and lockdowns are lifted and people start to get into the economy and really start to spend after being locked up for a year. You know, they're really going to start spending a lot of money. And I think that's going to add to the stagflation. And I really like the silver price here. The silver has a lot of catching up to do. So I really recommend being overweight silver.
Especially when you can compare to what silver has done compared to the underlying copper price. Copper just continues to break out. Silver is still a fair bit off, a long way off of its highs from about a decade ago. But you look at that gold-silver ratio, and I think it's down in the 60s now, right? So is there not a little bit of torque maybe towards gold because silver has performed better during this about four-month correction for gold?
Well, Corey, it's interesting. I've mentioned this over the past, you know, few weeks in our conversations about the silver juniors leading during this entire correction. Well, not the entire correction, since about mid-September. The SILJ, which is the silver junior ETF, has been showing very strong relative strength against the miners. I mean, this is the highest risk subsector, and it's very tiny in the gold complex. So, you know, when you see silver juniors leading out of a correction, that is very bullish. And SILJ right now is trading at 52-week highs, even though the GDXJ and the GDX are very far from their 52-week highs. So this is really stood out to me. And also, you mentioned the gold-silver ratio. It's around 75 right now. It's gone sideways during this entire correction. So silver's just been marking time, waiting to go a lot higher and join the copper price. So I think that's about to happen as you're starting to see silver break out of a triangle formation here after the Fed.
So back to the Fed and their policy, because it is the Fed that is driving a lot of these bullish comments for the precious metals. Look, the whole time as gold has been correcting for over 4 months now, everybody that I talk to that is bullish gold says, look to next year and look to the stimulus that is going to be put in front of us in the U.S. by the government and by the Fed. I understand that argument. It's just when you hear the Fed, and in all fairness, the complacency that comes after their statements of, look, interest rates are going to stay low for at least another couple of years. The Fed says that they're going to be ramping up their easy money policies, but we don't exactly know what that looks like right now. It just seems like everybody is so on one side of the ship, which, hey, that's what the Fed's telling us. But we both know that the Fed can switch course very quickly, and there's just so much uncertainty about next year that, I don't know, Dave, I find it hard to jump that strictly onto one side of the boat, especially because everybody else is on that side of the boat. How can you ease my mind here?
Yeah, I hear you, Corey. You know, I mean, the Fed is maximum dovish here. I mean, maximum. They can't get any more dovish. So like you said, I mean, even if they hint at something a tiny bit hawkish, you're going to see a sharp correction in commodities, in energy, in the stock market, in everything except the dollar. You're going to see the U.S. dollar have a lot of money coming into it for safety. So when you look at the dollar index, I mean, it looks very precarious. It's obviously headed down to really strong support at 88, and it's almost there now. It's around 90 right now. And I think that will coincide with gold getting back over 2000. I hear you on this, but it just goes back to the old saying, you don't fight the Fed. And they are backed into a corner, as all central banks are right now. You know, I mean, Japan is buying 90%. The Japanese central bank is buying 90% of the debt. You know, I mean, these central banks are buying it all and nobody else is. While, you know, all these countries are rapidly moving towards digital currencies. So it's really going to be interesting how all this plays out once the Biden administration comes into play here, because, you know, they're all about printing more money. I mean, they want to cover everything and anything with more stimulus. And it's really going to be interesting to see how that plays out once he's sworn in on January 20th.
So would it almost be a better scenario in the U.S.? And I hate talking about politics, but Democrats took both the House and the Senate then, and it gave Biden more power to do what he wants to do, even though that can be scary for a lot of people?
Oh, absolutely. If that takes place, then yes. Even if they have a tie in the Senate, the tie goes to the vice president. So, those runoff elections are huge. So if the Democrats take both of them, then yes, they'll control everything, and the gold price will react to that.
So, Dave, what do you think investors need to be watching the most right now as we move into next year? Because the dollar, yes, it does look like it's breaking down. The Fed, you know what, we've just heard the same story from the Fed almost all year, at least for the last half of the year. And, well, in all fairness, they need to actually do something to start driving the precious metals. So for the precious metals investors, what are some of the most important markets? What are some of the most important news events to watch for?
I think now that the gold price is in the process of creating an $1,800 floor, I mean, we've had two consecutive quarterly closes above 1,800, and it looks like we're about to have a third as the gold price is bumping up against 1,900 here as we're talking. I think M&A is really going to start to ramp up, and you're going to start to see also more. You're going to continue to see more mergers of equals because this sector needs to consolidate. And I think high margin large high margin projects that are in top tier jurisdictions. Those are things to keep an eye on. I think that those are going to start to be acquired. You know, there's a handful of them that are stand out near term takeover candidates, and the reflation trade. You know, and like I said, more signs of stagflation. That those are things to look out for, because I think once gold gets back over $2,000, I wouldn't be surprised to see it head to the $2,400-$2,500 level next year.
Just a flat out breakout then. But a lot of people have said that they would like another retest of that recent low in around 1760. Is that off the table now, do you think?
I think so, yes. I mean, sure. I mean, that is a very real possibility. But after what took place yesterday, after what the market's reaction to what Powell had to say yesterday, and the 16 other central banks that reported this week, and the European Central Bank last week, I don't see gold going below 1800 anytime soon.
Okay, well, Dave, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for taking some of these questions and trying to balance out, I guess, some of my fears, but only from a contrary standpoint, where I get the bullish argument, but again, so many people are bullish and so many people are pointing to the same reasons, and so much of this does depend on the Fed, which can just be kind of wild at times, all depending on what markets do. So, hey, we'll see what next year holds. But either way, it's been a good year for the precious metals. It's been a good year for a lot of assets. And next year, I think we're going to start to see some divergences here. But what lags and what outperforms? Well, it's something that we will be talking about on a regular basis. Dave, thanks for your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your Thursday and a great Friday. And we will chat again early next week.
Look forward to it, Corey. You too. Thanks.